Prime ministers
and presidents
may come and go, but the certainty of exemplary entertainment on the Midweek Drive
and the Midweek Drive Morning Edition
remains.
Now, last year, if you'd been around in the Lincolnshire area, you might have actually realised that it was the first official Lincolnshire Indian Day, or Lincolnshire India Day, indeed, that was actually put together. The first big Indian event actually in Lincolnshire. That was on the 24th of September. Unsurprisingly, it was a huge success. So we look ahead to this year, of course, 2023, and it's happening again, but bigger, better and brighter. And we're delighted to welcome to the programme to actually share some thoughts on the 2023 Lincolnshire India Day, the president of the Indian Cultural Organisation of Lincolnshire. That's the fabulous Dr. Deepa Agarwal. How are you, Dr. Agarwal?
I'm good, good. How are you, Alex? I'm lovely.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it's that sort of time of the year where it's not spring, it's not summer, it's winter's still with us, but yeah, it's all good. All good.
Sorry.
Anyway.
Sorry, I have a dog who wants to talk as well, so let me just get the dog.
We're happy to have canine friends as well. We are a canine friendly station as far as Siren Radio is actually concerned. So that's all fine. But let's talk Holly. Let's talk H-O-L-I. And as I say, the second festival, which is taking place in Boston. It's the Boston Park Holly, running from 11 a.m. through to 4 p.m. Actually in March of this year, specifically March of the 18th. So what's going to be happening?
Fun, if I put it in one word. It's just community free fun, a free party, basically. So Holi is the second biggest festival of India after Diwali. It is Festival of Colors, and it is celebrated in March to welcome spring. And basically, there's a deeper meaning in Holi, which is you color everyone in one color so that, you know, the differentiation of your various caste, creed, religion just goes off. You all come together on one day to celebrate, have party, dance, music, food, you know, as it all goes, and basically just enjoy a day together. So this is what we are trying to create, and we have kept it free so that everyone could just come and enjoy.
Well, that's something which certainly caught my attention, given the cost of living crisis that we're having together from that point of view. Why Boston, just out of interest, as opposed to Lincoln itself?
So I live in Boston.
That makes sense. You know, why not actually have the Boston Central Park as the basis though?
Yeah, I mean, ever since I came to Boston 6 years ago, that was my dream to do it. You know, it is like right. Why Boston? Yeah, it's right in the hub, like heart of the city, the park where it is. And Boston has so much different cultures in them together. And with the stump where it is, you know, I just thought it's always been my dream to do something there so that it is visible to community. It's very easily visible wherever you do because it's surrounded by people. People live around there. And and to be very honest, my secret thing was every time I said someone to that I live in Boston, they automatically associated with U.S. And I wanted
Absolutely.
People to know Boston.
Hey, listen, Boston, Massachusetts, Lincoln, Nebraska. How many people come to the University of Lincoln and they think they're going to Nebraska? No, it's Lincoln, England. It's understandable.
Yeah, but I was like, you know, we are the original Boston, you know, the Pilgrim Fathers came from here.
Yeah.
So I want people to know where Boston is in UK. And when you go to the rest of UK and talk to them about coming to Boston, I mean, I was just talking to colleagues in Lincoln, in Leicester, and they're like, oh, it's like so far. It's like, no, it's Lincoln is only an hour away from Leicester. You know, we're not the other side of the world. We're just an hour away from anywhere, you know, hour or 2 hours away. We're not that far.
Absolutely. And again, that's something we want to actually promote quite heavily. Now, as I say, over 2,000 people attended the first India Day, of course, from that perspective. In terms of this Holi festival that we're talking about, very colourful. It's celebrating, as we said, the arrival of spring, which makes perfect sense, etc. Red, green and yellow are the kind of predominant colours that are actually thrown into the air from that point of view. What are you most looking forward to from your own perspective in terms of the event?
I think first of all is to raise awareness of the because we just felt we all three of all four of us in the community members, we just felt coming to Lincolnshire that the awareness of various especially Indian culture, you know, what are the various traditions and things is not as widespread here as the rest of the UK. So you see these events being regularly celebrated in places like London, even next door in Peterborough, they do it. But we don't seem to be doing any of that sort of thing together. And there is a very big Indian slash Asian population here in Lincolnshire, you know. The NHS is formed, NHS, which is the biggest employer. I think if I'm not wrong with the figures, it's 40-50% is non-white population is the Asian population. So it's really important for people to, I think, to recognize each other's diversity. And I think that also gives the people who want to come here and work here and, you know, make this place their home, a feeling of belonging. I mean, I've got, as you can see, Pramya's just joined us. She's our treasurer and the IT backbone of everything that we do. And sure, because who's our secretary, and Shiv is just joining in. Shiv is actually is being born and bred in in UK, but Shobhik and Pramya, we have come from overseas, and myself. And when we came to Lincolnshire, especially I can recall my experience 6 years ago. I came to Lincolnshire for six after within 6 months. I wanted to run out of here because I couldn't see any Indians or any Asians people around. There's no proper shopping, food shopping that you could go to. The nearest is Leicester you have to go to. There's no restaurant, Indian restaurant here. There's kind of no proper communal place I could find. There was no sense of belonging. You felt very isolated. And we want people to not feel that. I mean, I'll let Pramya and Shobhik share their experiences as well. But that sense of belonging. My children were only 3 and 5. They went to a school where they were the it was lovely, lovely school, very lovely teachers, one of the village schools, but it was a predominantly local population school. And my children came back and said, "Why are we a different color?" And it was like, at 3 and 5, they're thinking that, it wasn't right. It was like this world we are, they need to have sense of belonging. They my children are born in UK, they are British. They need to have that sense of belonging to, Britain, but knowing that their roots are back in India. And this is not just our experience, experience of a lot of people here. So we wanted to create that atmosphere that look, we are recognized, but at the same time, we also want to celebrate how Lincolnshire has contributed. It is our home now, in our it has contributed to us being here, being what we are. And we want to show to rest of UK and rest of anybody who wants to come, it's wonderful to live here. You just need to find your foot and find your friends and find your group. So that's what we are.
Now, as well as obviously being president of the Indian Cultural Organisation of Lincolnshire, you're also a full-time consultant paediatrician. I've got to ask the question, Deepa, how do you manage to juggle all those events and coordinating Holly as well?
I've got my lovely team. I wouldn't have done without this. My this organization is, as you can see, the rest of the body. I'm just the thought. They are the actual actions. I just tell them.
Okay, well, you've been the spokesperson extremely well so far. We originally think it's just going to be a one-to-one, but with the whole range of people that have joined us, would you like to introduce them? And basically, we'll have a quick word with themselves and talk us through their own involvement with this project.
Yeah, so Shiv is our vice president. Shiv is by profession a business lawyer, and he very kindly joined in very early. So we are all first to start off with. We all are working professionals, and we are just here on a voluntary basis. So this organization is completely a charitable organization, not for profit. So Shiv does all our kind of looking after legal side of all of it.
This is one of the reasons why Shiv obviously has his camera off, because he's obviously behind the scenes. He wants to obviously be behind the scenes. So that's okay. Hi, Shiv. How are you?
Very nice to meet you. Very good, thank you. How are you?
Excellent. Great, great stuff. I mean, again, clearly we've got from Deepa the real sense of excitement and enthusiasm that's coming across for this event, which as I say certainly is going to be a key aspect of March in Boston, March the 18th again. What are you most looking forward to, Shiv?
I think it'd be fantastic to actually host an event that's not on the sort of standard path. We're not just looking to be centralised in Lincoln, but also include and involve people across Lincolnshire as a whole. And it is quite a colourful festival. I think it's a great way for people to actually understand other cultures and have some wonderful food whilst they're at it.
Well, you sold me on that, which is great. Who else would you like to introduce, Deepa? Who's next up?
Yeah, so let's not forget the charity part of it as well. So while we are having fun, we are also trying to raise money for a charity called HEAL, which is a charity to support estranged and orphan children in India, and for Citizen Advice Bureau, you know, which is a charity Shiv is closely linked with, which supports Ukrainian refugees. It's a UK charity. In this dire time, we've also picked up, we should do contribute to our, you know, our colleagues in Turkey, our friends in Turkey who are, you know, going through this disaster. And I think I may kind of want to contribute something to them. And last but not the least, I'm NHS. So it has to be, you know, our NHS charity needs to have a input. So my next up is I would introduce Shobhik Gupta. He's a very silent player. He's a secretary. He's the one who kind of writes mostly. I think he's Mini Deepa, as I might say. He's kind of, you know, without his kind of various writing skills and things, we would not have reached anywhere. He's our crystal ball. He predicts, you know, what we should do and kind of how much we should do. He's that crystal ball there. So I'll let Shobhik talk the rest now.
Well, I'm just saying he's actually brought his very own crystal ball to hand, which is very impressive. So from your own line, again, we get the sort of notion that's coming through here. And I'm so pleased Deepa actually did mention the fact that there are a number of citizens in the globe that we share, and it is one planet, who are having a dreadful time at present, whether you're Syrian, whether you're in Turkey, whether you're in Ukraine. It goes without saying, our hearts go out with respect to that. But what about your own involvement with this particular project? And indeed, as you have that crystal ball, can you predict the weather on March the 18th? Which, I mean, culturally, it's the day after St. Patrick's Day. So, you know, you've got obviously the Shamrock celebrations leading into obviously the first Holy Day.
Yeah, hi, Alex. So, yes, my crystal ball says that with the blessings of St. Patrick, we will have very sunny weather on 18th of March. No, there so we also hope to have a lot of Irish people in that. So to continue and to have a spillover of the St. Patrick Day. Yeah, so basically in this project, I'm more involved in getting the funding, writing all the mails, getting sponsors, everything. And we have got some good fundings and some good replies from our sponsors. So we are really looking forward to have a fantastic day on 18th of March in Boston.
Deepa, people can obviously go to the website for Lincolnshire India Day. Is there another website that you'd like to suggest people should actually visit just to actually find out more about this particular area, or should they go to lcol.org.uk?
It's actually ICOL, so Indian Cultural Organization. Yeah, ICOL. I think that's a feedback. So I think what I will do is, for that question, I am going to put you to Premier, who is the owner of the new IT Nest. She's our treasurer as well. And with her, so she's actually doing quite a few roles. She's managing our finance and she's giving us all the technical and IT support. So any of those questions are Premier's question.
Well, there we are. Now, first question I've got to ask in terms of the new IT Nest. Is that a place where computers go to get baby computers from mummy computers and daddy computers? Just sounds wonderful.
Hi, it is, yeah. It's all to play with small to big data, most of the data related, because we are living in the data world. Without data, we couldn't do anything in the present day. So even with our iCall, with the numbers, predictions, like how many people will attend our event. So in that way, we can effectively manage the event and organize. So we have all the elements, say, for example, food stalls or the holy colors for this event. We could maybe say to the stall holders and say we can have stock in hand to cater everybody in all aspects so people won't get disappointed.
So in many ways, it's a kind of digital version of the crystal ball, really. You've got both the organic and the inorganic side of things there.
Yes, because iCall has started from the baby. So, yeah, it's the full digital transformation all is taken care of by me.
And so, Deepa shared her particular pathway and journey and how she felt, in a sense, it took a time to acclimatise to actually find some kind of sense of root and belonging within the region and so on. Can you share with us your own particular experience in terms of becoming part of Lincolnshire? I mean, are you seeing yourself now as a yellow belly in Lincolnshire, or is that's a step too far?
I came here into UK to do my master's as a student in 2008, and it is in Lancashire, Preston. So since then I moved to London, where you can see the whole lot of community there. But since I was married, I came here in 2012 to Lincoln, and then I belong here to Lincolnshire, especially Lincoln. I didn't know most of the community. I live the other side of Lincoln in North Highcombe, so which yeah
Which I
and then
passed
through
by.
India Day event, yeah
And I certainly
through
pass
India
through
Day
North
event.
Highcombe on a regular basis on my journey to the University of Lincoln. So it just goes to show it's all interconnected there. I know North Highcombe very well, but still, excellent stuff. Deepa, it's been fantastic sharing some of the thoughts. It was bonus to actually speak to some more of the team, etc., from that perspective. I think we've got a wonderful flavour of what is going to be an absolutely fantastic event. Again, a reminder, it's the 18th of March, 2023, 11 a.m. through to 4 p.m. It is absolutely free, but I do believe people have to register. Is that right?
Yes,
Yep.
so if you go onto our website, www.icol.org.uk, you will find a button to book the tickets, which will redirect you to book the free ticket, and it is powered by Eventbrite. That's where, yeah, and
Yeah,
you get the tickets free.
the doggy was just confirming it is indeed Eventbrite. I mean, I'm pleased that he's actually on the case there. So it's nice to see that you can confirm that. It's good stuff.
Yeah. And just to let you know, we are on all social media, so on Facebook, Instagram. So we are, I think Premier's just basically, footprinted us everywhere. So if you just put ICOL or iCall, just type it in Google as well, we will just come up. We are on Visit Lincoln and on Visit Boston as well. So yeah, just come, and we would ideally like you all to book tickets and come so that we can make appropriate arrangements. But if you haven't by any chance and you have left it to the last day, just come. Just come
Well,
and
as
spread
a
the
genuine
word.
an invitation there that even the fantastic poet Khalil Gibran would probably be proud of from that perspective. So excellent stuff there. Deepa, it's been awesome sharing some thoughts with yourself and your colleagues, of course. A reminder, of course, it's icol.org.uk to find out further details. We're going to ask you a couple of standard questions. We always wrap up our features with this. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us on the Midweek Drive?
Yes,
Good.
I
A little
think
bit
so.
hesitancy there, but that's okay. That's fine.
I was trying to think. Yeah, no, I think I'll be very honest. This was my very first experience of doing it via Zoom, like this. So yeah, so we were a bit thrown. So we tried all to look very best, but of course on radio you can't see it. I think you all are looking very pretty and very good, isn't it?
Well, yeah, exactly. We'll make sure that the visuals are there as well. It's a colourful festival. We need to celebrate that. So the next question is, can we prevail upon you to return? Will you come back possibly closer to the event, maybe after the event? Tell us how it went. Who knows? We might even get a location report to travel that huge journey from Lincoln to Boston in the county of Lincolnshire to actually make it there. We might even look towards that.
Cannot say that. I do that every day. I live in Boston and I work in Lincoln, so I will not take it's a huge journey. We would love to have you there, and we are actually looking forward to have Siren Radio on the site. I'm sure my team agrees with me on that one. As I said, it's a party, it's a street party. It's a free street. I will reiterate the word free. Just come and have fun, and more the merrier. We Indians love to party, and this is what we the more the merrier.
Dr. Deepa Agarwal and colleagues, huge thanks. Keep on keeping on, and we'll speak very soon.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Well, I think that was perfectly logical to actually move from the Boston Park Holly event through to our next stage. In fact, it is perfectly logical. What the hey, time zones are getting very confusing at present. A reminder, of course, if you wish to attend this fabulous event in Boston, that's Lincolnshire, a reminder, celebration of Holly, and see all sorts of fabulous things there in a genuine multicultural area put together by the Indian Cultural Association, cultural organization, I should say. It is completely free. You need to obviously sign up via Eventbrite and go from thence. As I was saying, the logic behind that and moving straight to Richard Fitzwilliams and the Asian Film Awards, well, I think it kind of does make a kind of sense, really. What say you, Richard Fitzwilliams?
No, absolutely. The Eastern Eye, well, the ACT actually, Arts, Culture and Theatre Awards, yes, held at the Mayfair Theatre, celebrating the South Asian British community and wealth of talent. And also the compere, Nihal Arthanayake, certainly took a lot of pleasure and had a lot of fun in an evening which was extremely lively. And it was a fascinating mix. For example, there was a tribute to Satyajit Ray, which we'd seen at the BFI earlier in the year. The Life of Pi was honored, and well-known figures such as Anjana Vasan, who's the actress from Killing Eve, or Sangeeta Maheshwari, formerly BBC, now with LBC, received awards. One of them was presented. This was the award for Nitin Sawhney, the composer, by Shekhar Kapoor, who you will remember from Elizabeth. So it was an evening that I certainly much enjoyed, and it showed the amazing contribution that the South Asian British community made to the arts. Amit Ray was the journalist, was the presenter.
You mentioned, of course, Elizabeth, the director, of course, was the compere. You mentioned him, Nihal Athanayake. But you also mentioned The Life of Pi. That's a few years ago now. What are they just late in terms of getting to the party with respect to Life of Pi?
No. It's been on at the West End until very recently. And it just come off.
Well, there we are. I mean, I
Yeah.
was thinking years back to that side of things there. I mean,
Oh, yes, the film. No, we're talking about the stage.
Ah, there we are. Yeah, that's all right. I mean, well, you see, that's where we were confused. Anyway, obviously, time is just irrelevant because if you passed back and you used the Sarah Huntley time machine, ooh, very scary, to move back to Thursday, October the 27th, 2022, you would actually be able to hear Richard Fitzwilliams, Kathy Manso, and indeed myself considering three contemporary texts, including, of course, The Crown, The Woman King, and The Whale, which was obviously put together in terms of that. We also talked about the cost of the cost effective living and the end of the era of barcode stamps. So you see, Richard, that was one of the reasons why, in terms of The Whale, I felt that actually you must have obviously moved into a different time zone, another parallel universe, and had forgotten all about our time on October the 27th, 2022. It's
Well,
understandable.
Alec, no, I simply, it's amazing. I can't ask you a question in an email without it being revealed on air.
No, I just think it's
I
a
mean,
fair.
no. I simply think we've got two films to discuss, and we've also got the 43rd London Critics Circle Film Awards
I
to,
know, I know,
which
and of
are
course
extremely
the
interesting because, which are extremely interesting because I thought they were handed out to absolutely the right people.
Yep. Well, allowing for that, I know you're secretly looking forward to Adventures in Quantumania, Ant-Man and the Wasp. And I will say now, as I'm looking ahead to the Time World, that you will have two scores for this. You will give it a six for yourself and an eight for the fans. So I'm just saying, in terms of that, we wish Natasha Wanton all the very best. Apparently, she's picked up some kind of gastro. I don't know what. She should put it down again straight away. That's the instructions. But we have actually, because I've filled Richard, welcomed not only Sarah Huntley back to the film review slot. How are you, Sarah?
Very well, thank you.
Marvelous. Kathy Manso's with us as well.
Hello, good morning.
And of course, moving like a whirling dervish through the corridors of Dublin, Jessica Burtis is with us as well. How are you, Jessica?
Doing pretty well. Hello.
Excellent. It's a good brisk walk from that perspective. Okay, so allowing for all of that and the fact that we won't be talking about Quantumania in the near future, unless, of course, Richard, you've already booked to see it, because I know it's emerging very soon in terms of the market, and I know how much you love the Marvel movies and the events that actually around them. And also, I have to say, if you found Adventures in Multiverse of Madness for Doctor Strange a little bit bizarre and had difficulty understanding everything everywhere all at once, my outside tip for the Oscars, then I think Prontomania might actually blow your mind even further. But that's just a warning, because I think you need to have these kind of warnings, and maybe we should actually just move to the menu to actually settle down a bit more and actually ensure that we have a certain amount of sense and sensibility put together with respect to the menu itself.
So long as we can go back, I hope, to the winners of the Critics Circle Awards, Alex, can we? Indeed, with the menu. Yes, there's plenty of order in the menu. It's directed by Mark Mylod, and it is billed as a black comedy horror. It's actually a movie that's also made money, something is rather nice to see, because so often, if you look at the grosses, you find these days, admittedly, we don't know what they made online, but difficult in the cinema, I think everyone knows. A foodie, Tyler Ledford, played by Nicholas Holt, he was Hugh Grant's companion in About a Boy. He and his date, very significant, this Margot Mills, played by Anya Taylor-Joy. There's some strange, I don't understand, Alex. It's settled now, it seems. Travel by boat to Hawthorne. Now, Hawthorne is an island. There are certain similarities between this film and the successor to Knives Out, Glass Onion. Here on Hawthorne, there is an exclusive restaurant. Now, this is owned and operated by the celebrity chef Julian Slovic, played by Ralph Fiennes. And it has to be said, his assistant, Elsa, played by Hong Chow. What's significant also is that there are a series of chefs they're completely more or less fanatical admirers, indeed you could say devotees of this chef. Now the other guests all have something to do with the restaurant in the past. There is a critic played by Janet McTeer. There is her editor, Ted, played by Paul Idlestan. There are a couple of regulars, and also there are certain business partners. There's a washed-up movie star, his assistant, and so on. All of this means that, I don't know, Alex, we're getting a lot of interference, but anyway, all of this means that the guests who have specifically been chosen for this particular evening, well, they've all been chosen there for a purpose. And Margot was not Tyler's designated guest. Now, this turns out to be extremely important. He's asked people there, he's asked them for a purpose, and that purpose isn't particularly pleasant as we go through the first course. And the second course, by the time we get to the third course, it's abundantly clear lots of sinister plans and plots are afoot. For example, how would you like, if you were at one of the tables, to read uncomfortable truths about yourself exposed in a laser-printed image on a tortilla? I simply suggest that any sins you might have might be revealed, and they would vary table to table. It's not a very nice thing to happen. And all sorts of things then start happening, which are far less nice. An angel who previously was an investor in the restaurant, he suddenly appears outside and is being drowned, and the guests start being very, very threatened. One of them loses a finger, and pest things indeed. And what is being planned? What is the denouement? What indeed is the fascinating fate of Margot, played by Anya Taylor-Joy, who is, I have to say, absolutely superb. And one of the benefits of this movie is we also get the benefit of Ralph Fiennes' voice, which is, I have to say, a great pleasure. By the time the fifth course has arrived, you can well imagine that there is a great deal of confusion and, should I say, chaos. The amusing aspect of this, I'm not a fan of horror movies, and there is quite a lot that might go over the top occasionally, but then this is a sort of movie that you rather expect to go off over the top. And the problem is these guests aren't necessarily held in the esteem by Julian Slovic that they believe they are. Indeed, you could argue that the only fortunate person there is his mother, who's an alcoholic and unable, it seems, to say anything. That and the fact that he has to come to terms with a rogue guest, as someone who, as I said, he didn't expect. So this is a curious potpourri of a movie. You can savor it if you like from course to course. Some are courses, and the actions involved by the characters in them are more successful than others. But it's certainly progressively uneasy, as you would expect. Equally, an example to see quite a lot of good actors start panicking in one way or another as they start being targeted. Indeed, the Hong Chao, who we saw, mentioned the whale as Brendan Fraser's friend. She gives a good performance too. No, they're all the actors are very good. The action is uneven. As I say, you've got similarities to certain films, which I cannot reveal without giving spoilers, but it's overall rather satisfying, I would feel. But I'm very glad that I wasn't necessarily invited to participate. As I say, every single guest has been chosen for their particular relevance to the restaurant and its past
Much
activity.
like this particular film review, every single co-presenter is selected for its own particular relevance to the actual piece. Richard, was there any impact on the fact, I don't know if you noted, that it was released the day before Prince Charles's birthday last year, on November the 13th? Do you think that could have actually impacted your view on this movie? Are you gearing up for obviously Prince Charles, then Prince Charles, of course, well, actually, then he was King Charles, his celebrations?
I don't follow you, Alex. I don't think there is any resemblance to anything royal in this. But what I do think is that it moves along at a, shall we say, a measured pace as the courses are delivered on in a certain style by these rather fanatical chefs, all of whom act according to Julian Slovic, the chef's command. So it's lasted in cinemas quite a long time, and I just thought I'd catch up with what clearly
Brilliant.
has
So
certain appeal.
88% on Rotten Tomatoes. Shocking surprises await a couple when they travel to an island to sample a chef's lavish menu. Is that the kind of dinner party you like to hold, Sarah?
Yes. No, I think Richard's really explained very well the horribleness of having something, I don't know, written tattooed onto what you're about to eat. You'll sin. So I wouldn't like that. I think I'd have to leave rather quickly. I really would like to see this. Actually, I worked with Nicholas Hoult a long, long time ago in a thing called Magic Grandad, just before he found out then that he was going to go and do All About a Boy. So I'm always really intrigued. To see what I mean, obviously Skins, and we know he's done extremely well, but he was very good then, and obviously
He
is
was Hank
acting
McCoy, the
now.
Beast in X-Men.
So I'll definitely
And
be going
Jack
to
the
see
Giant
this.
Slayer with
With
Elena
Elena
Tomlinson.
Tomlinson. Yes. Oh, we're so well connected, you know, so well connected. Not as much as himself, of course, Mr. But no, it sounds, I'm being silly. It sounds, I do sound like an old actress, don't I? Oh, darling, I worked with
Yeah,
him years ago.
Sarah, it was a matter of shock, and I'm astounded Richard didn't actually add this to his Facebook, that he actually thought he was seeing you on stage, actually, recently in London in Noises Off. Apparently, it was Felicity
Oh.
Kendall impersonating yourself. That's the reason he might, he should have actually said he should have seen you. There we are.
Oh, thank you. I know. thank you so much. This is my other life. No, but it seriously, I think this sounds like a really good one, and it's been a sad week again with lots of things, and so therefore I find myself with film wanting to go and see something that makes me escape, and I think from what Richard said, this would be a real escape.
Not
So
necessarily. It depends,
oh.
of course, you would or might be targeted with our
Oh.
journey.
Oh, well, you see these little teasers, these little tasters. I've got to go and see it now because I'll need. Where can I see it? Is it on an.
Oh, I can tell you actually, it's unless it's changed in the last few days. I doubt that it has. It's been a fixture at the Picture House Central in Piccadilly for a while now,
All
so
right.
that
All
should
right.
be. But I mean, We Love Cinema, if you Googled it, bound to tell you. I mean, it's become a bit of a cult movie. It might still be on in the Curzon Soho as well. I can't remember.
Well, that sounds
Cult
like a good one.
movies, sounds as though we should be looking at it in Resonance Rewind. Jessica Burtis, you, of course, scored Byron Haskins' classic movie very highly. I'm not sure whether, Sarah, you recognise the character behind me. Richard probably doesn't, but, you know, who knows? No. Is it E.T.? Ah, very close. E.T. obviously took an inspiration from that. So I think a bonus point from that perspective. Jess, of course, your 10 out of 10 movie for Resonance Rewind was?
It was War of the Worlds.
Yeah, the War of the Worlds. Yeah, truly.
The Spielberg War of the Worlds,
no.
Yes.
No. 1953, Byron Haskin, a friend of Cecil B. DeMille. It's cinematic literacy. This is quality stuff, Richard. Anyway.
Well, it may be you didn't say, Alex, and I would also point out that a friend of Cecil B. DeMille isn't necessarily a friend of the cinema, since his movies were not taken seriously and indeed debased the epic film until the Ten Commandments. Well, yes, that was a biblical bit of fun and games. But the orgies in the Ten Commandments, Alex, which I'm sure you would have wished to see close to, which you would have been able, of course.
Are you suggesting I was there, Richard?
Because I go back to the orgies, I'm not leaving them.
If you will.
They were shot at a distance in those days. When it comes to Babylon, you saw what was going on.
Anyway, Jessica, will you be going to see The Menu?
I saw it. I couldn't stand it, if I'm being honest. I did not enjoy it. I think that the actors, they did wonderfully, of course. I think they're very accomplished cast members, and they portrayed their characters very well. I loved Anya Taylor-Joy's character's dress. That whole outfit was gorgeous. But every time I see these Hollywood movies of very upper crust people making movies about, they're rich, I'm just like, it's so pot calling the kettle black thing to me. It just makes me roll my eyes. I can't take it seriously, because I'm like, all of you people would be a s'more right now in real life. So I just movies like this frustrate me, because I'm just like, it's just a little hypocritical to me. I think it's ironic that you have these extremely rich people doing this. And
Jessica, can I ask you, do you see resemblance, because I certainly did in this movie, between Glass Onion and Triangle of Sadness and the way the characters are portrayed here?
I haven't seen Triangle of Sadness, but Glass Onion, yes. I think it's all these upper crust people in these ridiculous situations, and very similar. I think The Menu's humor, I just didn't find it funny. Even though I like dark comedies, I was just not entertained. But again, the acting was the redeeming part of it for me.
There you have it. You see, Jessica, who usually finds some positive things to say about most things, clearly searing criticism about The Menu. And I would advise you, Jessica, don't go and see Triangle of Sadness. That will also prove to be a vomit-inducing overview of the whole setup as well, for that perspective.
That's a very strange image, Alex, vomit-inducing. Now, why could you have used that in the context of Triangle of Sadness?
I could talk about defecating elephants and Babylon, but, you know, we won't go there. We've had that. We've been all over the system. And besides, Natasha, if she's listening to this, and I know she was keen to actually listen into that, we'll probably get an even more upset stomach because we're talking about gastro matters. So let's not go there. Just out of interest, Jessica, what score would you give The Menu?
I'd give it like a 3 out of 10. Yeah. Not something I'll ever care to watch again. But again,
Jessica, that's probably your lowest score ever. And obviously, in that basis, that has to be 10 out of 10 for The War of the Worlds, but 3 out of 10 for the Menu. That's shocking. I mean, Richard, your score for The Menu?
Well, I mean, The Menu, again, I would emphasize, it's not a film that I was absolutely mad at, because I do avoid horror movies, and it made me feel rather queasy and uneasy.
You said all this, Richard. What's your score?
7.
Yeah. Sarah? Torn now. Kathy, what's your view on this particular aspect? Are you going Team Fitzwilliams or Team Jessica Burtis? Or is it a case of, well, I tried to sabotage Richard by leaving my microphone on, so, you know, what the hey?
I'm conflicted. Conflicted is to say the least. Because, like, I agree with Jessica. I've been in this trend of following this kind of formula in a lot of movies, a lot of TV series, where it's a little bit too much on the rich personalities. And like, I'm kind of going through the series You now, where it kind of follows the same exact formula of, and you're just kind of like, enough is enough. Like, I'll finish it because I need to know how it ends, but only because of that. I'm also conflicted because, as Sarah Henley pointed out, Skins, I'm going to be honest, guys, this is a very big eye-opening moment for everyone on the team. Skins was probably my earliest introduction to British culture, which I know isn't great to say, but I was really young, so please understand that. And that was the beginning of opening up to other, watching other countries perform their own series, because I think for me at the time it was like maybe Degrassi, which is Canadian, by the way. So I think I have similar views. I'm really interested in the actors. I know they're good at what they're doing. I think I would see it for that, but will I go somewhere to spend my money on this? Perhaps not. Might see if it just kind of appears on
Kathy,
my computer one
next
day.
Resonance Rewind is Village of the Damned, so you know, much better to actually sort of focus on that side of things there. Also some upper class characters with respect to George Saunders and so on, but still a much better movie. Sarah Huntley, where does that position you now? Because I mean, you could be torn now in terms of saying, well, the menu is one for me or
yes,
not.
I am, because you know, if Jessica says that, well,
this is the Jessica Burtis. This is serious
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly. I mean, that has to be taken seriously. But on the other hand, darling, lovey, I must go and see Nicholas's work in this, so I'll be off. I will. That's my reason, my main reason for going to have a look, to see look at Mr. Holt.
He is very good looking, Sarah, and also he's rather good at
how
it.
How facile, Richard.
Oh,
surely Sarah's going to see
it here
for the acting.
Well, no, I mean, this episode's going to go down in history. I'm going to go away now when I go on my walk with an image of Alex close up at an orgy.
Well, you know, when it comes to Nicholas Holt, he's...
In the words of Bill Clinton, I did not inhale. Anyway, so... Progressing onwards, your next movie, Richard?
Well, it's To Leslie. Now, To Leslie is actually a very interesting film, not just for the fact that it's a study of a really, really troubled and manipulative alcoholic, but also because she, and you're dealing with an extraordinary controversy here, Andrea Riseborough's nomination for the Oscars, to the extent where she, in fact, they were an all-white selection, and it caused a great deal of angst. What happened with this movie? It's directed by Michael Morris, and he and his wife, Mary McCormack, I mean, no one's seen this movie. It had made $27,000 or something like that. I mean, obviously, no one had even heard of it. Independent movie. Well, how do you get on the Oscar nomination list? Now, no one had ever done this before, it seems. They organized what has been called a celeb-backed campaign, contacting friends, and then subsequently numerous celebrities, and you're talking about Jane Fonda, Kate Winslet, Gwyneth Paltrow, a whole list of them. They praised Andrea Riseborough's truly remarkable performance in this film. Now, I ask you, did they deliberately and directly lobby voters? Did they compare this film to other movies, which is forbidden under the Academy rules? And the social media, the outreach, the tactics that they used have caused concern at the Academy, but they didn't violate the rules, apparently. There was an investigation. There was also a lot of feeling, a strong feeling. Viola Davis was supposed to be nominated for The Woman King, and certainly Danielle Deadweiler would have been my choice for Till. We discussed recently. I mean, that is an extraordinary performance. The film is her, you could argue. It's set in West Texas. She wins nearly $200,000 in a local lottery, and she then squanders the winnings on liquor and drugs. And 6 years later, she's living in motels and on streets. She loses her home or where she's living. And then she decides to reunite with her 20-year-old son, James. The problem is he'll put her up, but she mustn't touch drink. Well, of course, that doesn't work, and she starts to steal. So he calls his grandmother Nancy, and her boyfriend Dutch let her stay, but when she goes to the pub and starts drinking, they lock her out in the middle of the night. So it's from stop to stop, it's destructive, it's unhappy. All the various moods involved in this rather terrifying story of homelessness and abuse, it's an absolutely superb performance. She's actually offered a job by a benevolent character whose partner knew her before and also recognises the problems she's going through. It's a tough movie. You're not going to find a lot of people are going to want to see something like this, something as hard to come to terms with as this. And a character, is she beyond redemption or not? See the movie to find out. It's now in cinemas. I mean, the moods, it really is an extraordinary film. We begin with the documentary footage where she's looking at her winning this money which she's blown. Good performances. Andrea Reisbach, absolutely remarkable. We've got Alison Janney, who's always good. She always plays, or very often plays, a very acerbic character as Nancy. Yes, it's all well acted. It's visually, it chimes in with the mood. It's just quite extraordinary to watch it, to watch this portrait of someone as tormented and troubled with a past that she has. I mean, no spoilers. She won't win. I think Cate Blanchett will win for Tar unless Michelle Yeoh becomes the first Asian woman to win in Best Actress for Everything Everywhere All at Once. But It's caused enormous controversy the way this was backed. Andrea Reisbach, to be honest, was not an actress. I'd seen her a couple of times in television series, once as Margaret Thatcher, who'd especially appealed to me. My goodness me, I withdraw such comments after seeing her performance in this. It is a tour de force. You can't fault this film, if indeed you're brave enough to go and see it, which I suspect isn't likely to happen on large scale, simply because it is obviously deeply, deeply depressing in so many ways. But is there redemption? Is there hope? Can she get it together? Questions that you do need an answer to. And I wouldn't have seen this film, of course, if it hadn't been involved in the controversy, but I'm very grateful I did.
March the 12th, 2022 is when it was released, so it's been around almost a year. Sarah, not necessarily a feel-good movie, and the tale, as Richard said, of a West Texas single mother struggling to provide for her son when she wins the lottery, as you would do, obviously, because you win the lottery, you're going to have challenges. So, Sarah, your thoughts?
Well, I didn't know anything about the controversy, but purely on the personal level, at the moment, I'm watching things that take me somewhere else, and I don't think that's a place I really want to be taken to. Not that I don't totally appreciate and understand about, it's not, I'm not being sympathetic. It's just, I don't want to spend my spare time watching something like that at the moment, but obviously it has its place. And yeah, there's lots of people with mental health issues, aren't there, at the moment, and homelessness. And to be honest, I think the reason I don't want to watch it is a friend of mine down in Cornwall is similar, not as horrific, but similar backstory, who's now homeless. So actually, to be honest, I don't really want to, I won't engage at the moment, but it was probably something very worthy of its type. So and the acting obviously is marvellous.
Your score, Richard?
Well, I have no option but to give it 10 after a performance like that.
Kathy Manser.
Yeah, I think it is important to watch, and I'm definitely interested to watch it, but I kind of agree with Sarah where you need to be mentally strong to do so. You need to be okay and with yourself mentally and see how you're feeling to take something that's very difficult to process, you know? And I think it's a good thing to do, but, you know, with a little bit of caution, you know, try to be a little open to that. But I'm definitely interested in seeing it.
Yes, and I would say clearly the notion of getting an Academy Award for the whole process, well, you've got to negotiate and use the political systems as you can, really. It's par for the course. Jessica Burtis, what about this one?
I think I tend to prefer more feel-good movies or movies that have a happy ending. But I think that movies like this are important, too. It seems interesting. So I think, even though I might not watch it, like as we're saying right now, the sky is a bit too gray. The days are a bit too sad right now. Not the best time for me, but I think it could be interesting to watch in the future.
Well, tragically, the time that Richard spent talking and going on and on and on about Quantumania, Ant-Man and the Wasp, has meant that clearly we've had to reduce the time spent on awards, etc. I know, Richard, you're very excited about Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania.
I wanted, obviously, Alex, to highlight the very interesting choices by the 43rd London Critics Circle Film Awards, the Mayfair Hotel, another opportunity to mix with the stars, and also, most particularly, to celebrate the win. A surprise, this, as Best Picture by Tar, which...
Yes, I know, and you were congratulating Cate Blanchett as well, and we've seen all that, and it's all part
of
the whole
thing. But what is interesting, Alex, and what is interesting anyway to me, and you might not approve, but Everything Everywhere All at Once won nothing. Now, that is a surprise.
Yeah, it just proves that London film critics know nothing.
Alex, you can be difficult at times, and you know it. Indeed, Barry, and also, the Banshees of Inisherin and After Sun did terribly well. And Kerry Condon, Colin Farrell for Best Act. I mean, he edged out Austin Butler, who I thought was a cert.
I shall be muting you, Richard, if you don't realise that time is actually at an end for the moment. So we have reached that stage where I have to say thanks to Sarah Huntley, thanks to Kathy Manso, thanks to Jessica Burtis, and as ever, thanks to Richard Fitzwilliams. Keep watching the movies.